great Kohan David Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, Saints of Yahweh. On this Yahweh's High Sabbath, last great day, you may all be seated. It is an honor and a privilege to address the called out ones of the Living Father. I would like to bring you up to date on one of the signs that we're seeing here at the House of Yahweh. Back on December 19th of 2011, there was a sign in the skies over the sanctuary, and I'd like to just refresh your memory about that and give you a progress report to show you that Yahweh is faithful to the prophecies and the signs that he gives us in these last days. If I can get this on a monitor so y'all can see it. This is the sign that was seen by the two teachers, and the date again was December 19th, 2011. And the sign over the house of Yahweh, over the sanctuary, the clouds on the left spelled out the letters AGE, end of the age, and the letters on to the right in the rectangular block spelled out SHDHF. And I'd like to update you all on that. And just to show you how Yahweh is working with his house and the witness Israel in these last days. In Luke, and I'm going to go through these scriptures rather quickly, but I'll give you the verse. And Luke chapter 21 verse 11, it says, "Great earthquakes will be throughout place to place with famines," and that's one of the things about this sign. Along with the words of the prophets, it showed us there would be famines in the earth at this time, with famines and pestilence, disease epidemics, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. And this was one of the great signs from heaven that Yahweh showed to his house. This sign from heaven occurred on December 19, 2011. This date was on the eve of the 24th day of the ninth moon. The eve of the 24th day of the ninth moon. The moon was about 17 hours old when this sign was seen that evening. I think it was actually sighted the following evening. That's why I call it the eve of the sighting of the ninth moon. However, the ninth moon, when sighted the following evening, was 41 hours, 24 minutes old, when sighted according to the House of Yahweh calendar. If the moon had been sighted one day earlier, when it was 17 hours old, the date of the sign would have been the 24th day of the ninth moon. The prophet Shaggiah gave a prophecy regarding the 24th day of the ninth moon. So just summarizing some of the points here before I cover some of the scriptures. It says the prophecy in Shaggiah 2, verses 10 through 23, shows that Yahweh will greatly bless the house of Yahweh. From this day forth I will bless. And this is actually in that group of verses three times. Just as the A in the first letter in the word age came up three times. And Yahweh says that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let all things be confirmed. In Zechariah, now I'd like to, and another aspect of this prophecy, the prophet Shaggiah in 2 verse 23 shows that Yahweh will greatly bless his servant Zerubbabel, Yisrael, and make Yisrael a signet, which means a sign to the world. In Zechariah chapter 4, I'd like to begin reading at verse 6. It says, "So he answered and spoke to me, saying," this is the word of Yahweh to Zerubbabel, "saying, not by might, not by power," not by the power and the might that the world recognizes today, "but by my spirit, which is the law, says Yahweh of hosts." Let's go to verse 9. "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house," the great house of Yahweh, "in these last days. have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will also finish it. He's also going to finish this work in these last days. And you will know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised, in verse 10, the day of small things? They will rejoice when they see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, which means the one who opposes Babylon. And who opposes Babylon in these last days? Yahweh's servant, his witness, Yisro Hawkins. And we can see Babylon in the films that we've been seeing regarding the Masons and the powerful in the world who have much control of the way things are done in the world governments. And the complete knowledge and understanding of Yahweh through the witness Yisro, through Zerubbabel, the one who opposes Babylon, will go throughout the whole earth. Verse 11, then I answered and said to him, who are these two olive trees in Zechariah 4, verse 11, upon the right side of the lampstand and upon the left side of it? Then I spoke to him again and said to him, who are these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil? The golden oil, refer back to verse 10, the complete knowledge and understanding of Yahweh throughout the whole earth. This golden oil is being poured out. He answered and said to me, do you not know who these are? And I said, no, my ruler. Verse 14 of Zechariah 4. These are the two anointed ones, Yahweh's last day's witnesses, who stand for the supreme ruler of the whole earth. Now let's go to the letters SHDHF. And for those of you who haven't seen the letters above you on the men's side, they're the letters SHDHF in the rectangular box. And on the women's side, the letters AGE for age. But the letters SHDHF, these letters are showing that the food supply in the world will diminish rapidly due to drought and heat and climate changes due to global warming, due to the destruction of the firmament. The famines in parts of the earth will increase due to blasting, which is the meaning of that Hebrew word, and I'll get to that shortly. Due to blasting of the food supply at the house of Yahweh, however, will be blessed, as the prophet Shaggy said. In Matthew 24, verse 7, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in place after place. And another point here, this sign with the AGE on the left there in the square, with a square A, this sign from heaven was given to the house of Yahweh very near the end of this age. The Hebrew word shadaf, S-H-D-H-F, is Hebrew word 7710, and it means scorch, to scorch. It comes from Hebrew word 7711, which means blight or blasting. And Clark's commentary talks a little bit about this. They say the word blasting, the blighting east wind that ruined vegetation. What have we seen throughout the United States and throughout the world this past 8 months? We've seen ruined vegetation on those awful pestilential winds which suffocate both man and beast. In other words, the heat and the drought. Whenever they come, they often prevailed in different parts of the East. Well, now they're worldwide. In Genesis 41, verse 6, it reads, but after them, and this is a prophecy from Yosef's time, when Yahweh was showing him about the famine in Egypt, but after them, seven other heads of grain sprouted out, thin and scorched by the east wind. In Hosea chapter 13, verse 15, it reads, though he be fruitful among his brothers, and east wind will come, the wind of Yahweh will come out of the wilderness, and his springs will become dry. His fountain will be dried up, and his storehouse, you know, the place where he stores his grain, and there are reports from the USDA that the stores of grain are greatly diminished at this time. What they had in reserve from last year is lower than what they expected, and the crops they're harvesting at this time are greatly reduced because of the scorching heat and the drought. And his storehouses will be plundered of all its treasure. In Chagatu, on the 24th day of the ninth moon, in the second year of Darius, the word of Yahweh came to Chagibai the prophet, saying, this is what Yahweh of hosts says, ask the priest now concerning the law. When we come to the house of Yahweh, we ask the priest concerning the law. Pastor brought forth Luke chapter 10, verse 26. Early in the feast, where Yeshua asked the question, what is written in the law? You know, we all ought to write that out 10 times a day and get that in our mind to think law. What is written in the law, if we have a question? And ask the priest now concerning the law here at the house of Yahweh. 15 of Chagi chapter 2. So now I ask you, consider what will come to pass from this day forward. Before a stone was placed upon a stone in the house of Yahweh. In other words, before the house of Yahweh was established. Before the house of Yahweh was established in these last days, salvation was not offered to anyone. Before that time, when one came to a heap of grain, expecting to find 20 ephahs, there was only 10. When one came to a wine vat, expecting to find 50 baths from the press, there were only 20. And in verse 17 here, I struck you, this is what is occurring to the world at this time, I struck you, everything you worked for, with blasting, with scorching heat, and with drought, with mildew, with hail, yet you did not turn to me, says Yahweh. Verse 18 of Chagi chapter 2. Consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of this ninth moon, the day that the foundation of the house of Yahweh was laid, consider it. And in verse 19, but from this day forward, for Yahweh's work and house, I will bless. In verse 21, speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Yada, saying, I will shake heaven and earth. And these are the prophecies that the one who opposes Babylon, Yahweh's last day's witness, teaches us and is prophesying to all the world at this time through the broadcast. I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms and will destroy the strength of kingdoms of the heathen. I will overthrow the chariots of those who ride on them, and the horses and their riders will come down, every one by the sword of his brother. This is the way the Philistines destroyed themselves when they came up against Yahweh's people in the past when Yahweh was on their side, by the hand of their own sword. In that day, says Yahweh of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, O Yisrael, my servant. Look at the verses in Isaiah, which talk about my servant, my servant, my servant, Yisrael. My servant, the son of Shealtiel, says Yahweh, and I will make you a sign, for I have chosen you. Yahweh's chosen branch, the witness Yisrael. I'd like to go to Isaiah chapter 42 here, verse 15. I will lay waste, Yahweh says, to the mountains and the hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will make rivers into deserts. I will dry up their pools. Yekeskiah chapter 14, verse 13. Son of man. Who is the son of man? Yeshua, the commentary says, the son of man referred to Yeshua. But if you look at the usage of the son of man in the scriptures, it's Yahweh's elect one at that time. Here, he's speaking to Yekeskiah. So he's speaking to Yisrael Hawkins when he says, son of man here. Son of man, Yekeskiah 14, 13, when the sins of the earth have reached their peak. You know, the sins have not only reached their fullness, they've ascended into the heavens with their diseases. Son of man, when the sins of the earth have reached their peak, their full measure, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off their supply of bread and send famine upon it and cut off man and beast from it. Verse 14, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. You know, and that's what Yahweh tells us. You know, we have to work out our own salvation. You know, we're not going to get into the Yahweh's kingdom on someone else's righteousness. And verse 15, when I cause the evil, beastly governmental system to pass through the land, this is where we're seeing glimpses of this in the Mason films that we're seeing, and they devastate it so that it is devastated, and no man may pass because of this evil, beastly system. I have just a short article here regarding that system. It's a point that's made regarding this system. It just gives us perspective on what's going on as far as wealth, for example. Imagine a kindergarten with 100 students, lavishly supplied with books, crayons, and toys. Yet one avaricious little boy, means greedy, avaricious means greedy, guarding a mountain of toys for himself. A handful of other children are quietly playing with a few toys each, while 90 of the children look on forlornly, empty-handed. The one greedy little boy has hoarded more toys than all those 90 children put together. What's going on, you ask? Let's learn to share. One child shouldn't hog everything for himself. The greedy little boy looks at you indignant. Do you believe in redistribution? He asked suspiciously, his lips curling in contempt. I don't want to share. This is America. And then he summons his private security firm and has you dragged off the premises. Well, maybe not, but you get the point. That kindergarten distribution is precisely what America looks like today. Our wealth has become so skewed at the top, 1% possess a greater collective wealth worth than the entire bottom 90%, according to the Economic Policy Institute in Washington. This inequality is a central challenge for the United States and should be getting far greater attention in this presidential campaign. That's enough of that article, but it makes the point about the system. Part of the evil beastly system, it's one of the aspects of it. There is not much inequality in the system. So continuing here with Revelation 18, verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. You know, their system is collapsing. It's through greed and wars and everything else, their system, Babylon and sin, their system is collapsing. For her sins have reached into heaven, and this is the destruction of the firmament, and Yahweh has remembered her iniquities. In Yekezkiah 14, verse, with respect to that article I just read on the boy with all the toys, 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all evil, and there are some who pursuing it have strayed from the faith, piercing themselves through with many arrows. Going on to continuing with the sign, Yael chapter 1, verse 17, I'd like to read verse 16 first of all in Yael chapter 1. Is not the food cut off before our very eyes? Yes, joy and gladness from the house of our father. The seed is rotten under their clogs, and storehouses are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the grain has withered. And the grain has truly withered this past year. I have several articles here from this one is it's from the Associated Press, published in St. Louis. It says nearly 220 counties in the drought-stricken states were added Wednesday, and this goes back a month or so, to the U.S. government list of natural disaster areas as the nation's agricultural chief unveiled new help for frustrated cash-strapped farmers and ranchers grappling with the extreme dryness and heat. And he says here, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's addition of the 218 colonies means that more than one half of all U.S. counties, 1,584 in 32 states, have been designated primary disaster areas this growing season. You know, the sign from heaven, December 22nd, and it was a major drought since that time in 32 states have been designated primary disaster areas this growing season, the vast majority of them mired in a drought that is considered the worst in decades. And the excess, here's a similar article. It says the excess heat and a devastating drought that spread across the Corn Belt and is contributing to rising food prices. Well, we're seeing some of those effects of rising food prices. USDA researchers added that an additional 37% of the nation's soybeans were ranked weak or poor to very poor. Nearly half of America's corn crop was also rated very poor to poor. This year's harsh conditions suggest that food prices next year can surge by as much as 4.5%. It's going to be more than that. It's going to be more than 4.5%. And then he states here, it's the most severe and expensive drought in 25 years. As of July 17th, this article says approximately 88% of the corn crop was in regions impacted by the drought. And why is lack of corn going to add to the price of food? About 75%, for those of you who have to avoid corn because of allergies, about 75% of all food found in the supermarkets contains corn. And much of that is corn sweeteners. That's why the percentage is so high. So in 2 Kefa chapter 3, verse 12, but the day of Yahweh will come upon the world as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass with great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Fervent heat. Both the earth and the works in it will be burned up. The correct translation of that, 2 Kefa 3, verse 12, you must look for and earnestly long for the day of Yahweh, for the firmament will be falling apart because of the diseases, and the crops in the field will perish because of heat. Now, I added in scorching heat, which is what the Hebrew word says, scorching heat. I have one additional article which I'd like to read here. It's a recent article. It's only like a week old, from the New York Times. Title of it is Global Food Prices on the Rise, UN says. Washington, global prices for meat, dairy products, and cereals resumed rising last month, the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization reported Thursday, adding to concerns that developing countries may face food shortages. So if much of the wealth is controlled by, you know, 1% of the people, who's going to suffer? It's the people who can't afford the higher prices of food. Now listen to these words here. Well, I'll read the previous sentence here. It says the agency said that on average food prices would rise 2% in September after remaining steady in July and August. Now listen carefully. They say scorching heat and drought in the United States, in Russia, and in Europe constricted agriculture production and pushed the prices of corn and soybeans to record highs, the report said. So there's that word, scorching. The Hebrew word, S-H-D-H-F, shadaf, means scorch, to scorch. The largest increases were for dairy products, which rose 7% in September, their sharpest climb since January 2011. Well, when was the sign in heaven? It was December 19th of 2011. Higher feed costs were a major factor in the increase and also helped to drive meat prices up 2.1 1%, especially in the grain-intensive pork and poultry industries, the report said. Governments must ensure that these high prices do not tip more vulnerable people into hunger. And that's, Yeshua said there would be famines, and it's the vulnerable people that are going to be tipped into hunger and starvation. We cannot afford to sleepwalk into the next food crisis. Oxfam also released a report on Thursday saying that rising food prices have helped drive a global land rush that is undermining the rights and livelihood of the poor and the more vulnerable people. These investors, these foreign investors who are buying up land, have invested heavily in recent years to acquire agricultural land in developing countries with serious hunger problems, but that most of the investors plan to use the land to grow food exclusively for export, not for domestic sale. So what are the people in the country, in their countries going to eat? They're not going to eat very much. They're going to be subject to starvation. I'd like to conclude with Matthew 24, verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell me, what will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" You know, again, going back to the sign in heaven, A-G-E, the end of the age. Verse 33, "In the same way, when you see all these things, know that his coming is at the end of the age, is near at the very door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things are fulfilled." And my final scriptural reference here, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. "Now all these things took place with them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, on whom the end of the ages has come." May Yahweh bless your understanding. If you'd all please stand. It's my honor and privilege to introduce the great Kohan Zephaniah Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. And the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We're going to play the end. Well, it's not quite the end, but it's pretty much the conclusion of this video on the Masons. And I'm going to give just a few minutes here to summarize what we've seen. It should be about 5 minutes. Let me see. But remember, the Freemasons are a secret society, and their members are found, and this is what's being shown by this video, in the governmental positions of every country on the planet. And it's not just the governmental positions, but they're the top governmental positions, because remember, it showed how Skull and Bones is a part of the Freemasonry, and how George Bush and Kerry were both members, and George Bush became president, and Kerry ran against him. So they had both angles of that election completely covered. They're also found in the top universities. The Skull and Bones is one of their fraternities, and that's in Yale University, where a lot of the top leaders of the United States and other countries come from. But they don't just have the governmental positions. They also hold these positions in universities and in the music industry, which wasn't covered too much in this video, but it did show some of the older ones who owned these large studios, the movie studios, as the pastor talks about Hollywood. When he mentions Hollywood, in a lot of ways what we're talking about is these Masons and their Masonic influence. And today they're also involved, as has been brought out in previous sermons, with a lot of the modern day music that has negative influences on society and causes a lot of the violence and the STDs that we see today. And then they had, it is something just to consider the 800 members alive in Skull and Bones, and that the two were the top presidential candidates in 2004. Now, they also showed the involvement that they had, which is evident just from the outfits of the people in the paintings of these revolutions, the French Revolution and the United States Revolution. George Washington himself was a Mason, and that is evident. I think that's just plain knowledge, but it's also evident by the outfits that he was wearing in the paintings of him. And the ones who signed the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, and the ones who wrote it, you know, depending on what information you have, between 9 and all 55 of the ones who signed that document were involved with the Masons. And in fact, the Masons essentially take credit for having invented, created, and constituted the United States. And if you go to Washington, D.C., it's kind of hard to disbelieve this, because the symbology that they're showing in this video is the tip of the iceberg with the amount of symbology about Masonic involvement, that when you go to that city, it's almost unbelievable. It's like it's almost, you wouldn't believe it if someone told you. It's like it's a fiction. But their heavy involvement in the arts themselves, and in modern day entertainment today, which comes from the arts. And then it showed their involvement in the judicial system, which is shown in part by the gavel that the judges use, which is a Masonic gavel. And that whole system, basically, if you look at it, is Masonic. And what you can really derive from all of this is that the Masons are really the Romans. They're the modern-day Romans coming down today, and their system is almost identical in so many ways with the system that they had in Rome. If anything, they've just kind of improved it in terms of its efficiency to govern the people and to keep them under wraps. And then they had the involvement with the banking system itself, which is a tremendous power, the power that they have to print money and to lend money. And we're seeing that take its effect all over the world. And this is evident by the symbology on the dollar bills themselves. It's almost like they're actually bragging about this. But what you can see, too, from all of this is that even with this heavy involvement in all of these areas and all over the world, in every institution, they still can't bring peace. So whatever it is that they're doing, it certainly does not offer a solution, because if we had these positions, we could have the world's problem solved in about a week. Literally, imagine if we each one of us here had one of these positions. One of us was president, one president of France, someone leader of Russia, and then we could also have control of the banking system. And you just think of the fact that with all this power, with all this supposed unity that they pretend to have, and with all this pretense of personal improvement, they wouldn't be making such a big mess of things. But they are, and in essence, they're the ones to blame for all of this. We also saw that their admitted connection to Solomon's temple, which goes right along with Genesis 49 and shows that they are, as Genesis 49 said, the rulers of the world, the 12 tribes of Israel. And then let me see, we'll wrap it up real quick. We saw Habane, which as the Kohan brought out and the pastor brought out also, is their connection to the ones who knew Yahweh's name, and they've corrupted it. And then at the end of this today, we're going to see they rejected Yeshua Messiah, they're rejecting the one sent, and at the very end, the man tells us we have a choice, and the choice is essentially, do we want this system to continue? And of course, the correct answer is no. So let's play the video. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
Keep it up, don't let it go. This is the last day. Not the last day, but the last great day. Right. Beautiful. I know Yahweh heard that. You may be seated. Yahweh is sitting above the firmament. Be turning over to Deuteronomy. I hope you're understanding. This is the best feast I've ever seen. In the praise Yahweh. I've seen people. Quickly repenting, and this is a blessing. This is this is what we want. I know they say a righteous person stumbles 7 times or 70 times, but he gets up and goes. Praise God. Cut that out. In Deuteronomy 12, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Peace. Peace and joy. Deuteronomy 12 and 5, he says, first seek his habitation. Then 7 and 8 says, go there and rejoice. Go there and rejoice. And then 13 says, rejoice in front of Yahweh. And they say, he says to do this for 8 days. Now, this is the 8th day. I know you've probably lost it 1,000 times if you have a telephone. And you're busy trying to get some calls made to get some work done. But remember Acts 3:19 and quickly repent. Quickly repent. Get yourself back in touch with Yahweh. And if you can, we'll confess your sins. We have a 24-hour hotline for that, so even if you can't get through to my number or your counselor's number or whoever, call that hotline and confess to Yahweh. You see the troubles that we're having, and we've showed this in the documentaries. Be turning over to Psalms. We've shown this in the documentaries. History is full of it. The killings that have taken place down through the years in trying to destroy Yahweh's work. The great Kohan Elia Hyler was just telling me some stuff that wasn't on this documentary that he had discovered in history about the killings of the what they call the American Indians. Of course, Satan thought she was going to find me there, and that's the reason for wiping all those people out. But she was looking for somebody in New York, I'm sure, with, you know, came from the schools of low degree. I'm not going to call them higher learning anymore. They're the lowest thing on the face of the earth. They put you in slavery, in bonds that they themselves would not dare to touch with their little finger, as Yahshua said. And they rule you. They rule you. And you become an object of money making all the days of their life. And you know, on their deathbed, they're still trying to make money, make more money. And Yahshua said, he was telling them, you can't take any of this with you. Oh, yeah, we can. Pharaohs, they just stacked it in their pyramid coffins, and they got it with them right now. And they stacked everything they wanted in there to take to heaven with them. But it's still there. And then later on, it was the grave robbers came along and got it. Well, that proves them liars, don't it? Isn't it liars that it proves? Sure it is. And anyway, this system, this Nimrod system of rebelling against rejoicing, rebelling against the Ten Commandments, against keeping your appointments with Yahweh, these things were set up to bring peace and joy. Rejoicing brings joy. That's supposed to spill into the other days that you are not present before Yahweh or keeping your appointments, where you can actually rejoice, as the apostle showed, even in jail, if need be, in prison, facing the death squad, as some of the apostles, and praying for your enemies while they stone you, or slit your throat, or pull you apart, or whatever. All the things our hideous minds can come up with. Well, Yahweh, of course, set this world in order to support life and to bring the greatest amount of joy to the body that he created for mankind. And of course, all of these things will be for eternity. He talks about the little things and judging the little things. And of course, I haven't gotten totally into that to show you. I'll get into some of it here today, and we'll continue it after the feast. But here in Psalms, he talks about this firmament that he made for mankind, and the scientists that are finding this out now, they're doing tests. Here's one that was done in New York, where they found all kinds of bacteria and fungi and harmful bacteria, even skin cells that they was so plain that they could see what color the body was that they were taken from. And that, of course, is the air that they're breathing in New York. But just New York, right? No. No, it's all over. It's all over the world. It's going up into the firmament. There were studies, a lot of studies, started after we told science what to look for and what is actually causing the global warming. Now, we know the Arctic ice caps are missing, or they're melting. They're melting away. We know that. We can measure it. We can see the rate that they're melting. Now, this article came out. It's talking about ice nucleation. This is microorganisms that is taken, or they gather their power of doing their job from the Arctic ice caps. Now, these things travel. They're transported, it says, from long distance from these polar ice caps and maintained their ice nucleating activity in the atmosphere. Well, what do they do? They make your rain. If this ice totally disappears this summer, and some are saying it will, does your bacteria, your nuclear bacteria that forms the raindrops that are taken into the firmament, transported into the firmament, and there they start doing their work to bring your rain? Where do they come from then? We're in a pickle. We're in a pickle. And Yahweh says to a small group, overcome. Overcome, and I will give you power to restore this Leviathan. Now, Leviathan means, and you've got to get this meaning in your head, and you won't find it in a dictionary, lexicon, you won't find it anywhere but the scriptures, and it's not an easy thing to find for all these thousands of years that man has had the Holy Scriptures in front of them. They've not found it at all, but Yahweh has chosen to show his house in these last days. And that is the last message, he says, that will bring to a completion Yahweh's secrets. Well, these are some of the secrets that he created for mankind, that this beastly system that we see that's so evil, they're so evil and wicked, and their acts prove this, and of course it spread throughout the whole earth. There was a bit of news yesterday or day before. I got interrupted about 30 times with the telephone, so I didn't get it all, but Zephania, you might remember this, is on Channel 12. But they were having a wedding, I believe it was. I think that was what was taking place, and all of a sudden, everyone went crazy, and they started fighting, and I believe it was the groom that got killed. And they were hitting each other and people picking up sticks or pipes or whatever. And the whole mess that went there, they went there for joy and gladness to see this couple married. and it turned into hate and bitterness and fighting, and one person or two was killed. Well, this is the character of the world. And Yahweh is saying to us, go, come here to my house in front of me, and I want to see you rejoice. And hopefully this joy will build in you, and you will be able to take joy in everything you do then. Praise Yahweh. Well, back to this now. This thing they called ice nucleation. And they show this is a very serious matter, but science just started this study a few years ago, about 4 years ago, I think it was, after we had brought out so much stuff from the Holy Scriptures about this subject right here. Well, here now in Psalms 104, we go to verse 26 first. Verse 26, there the ship sailed about, and you formed Leviathan to play there. Well, of course, they're getting some words mixed up here. And of course, this word Leviathan means microorganisms in mourning. So it's the microorganisms that he formed, not just to play, but to do a job, but he also formed them. And this is what the Hebrew word shows. He formed each of these little creatures to actually rejoice in their job. And you see this in the lowest things. I brought this out. I've been bringing it out for years. If you just call it to memory. And I said, look down in a septic system and you'll see maggots having fun. He created them for us a purpose. This is, and they multiply, the mates love each other. The same thing Yahweh sees. We can't see it except through telescope, but Yahweh sees it as big as grasshoppers. How would you like to be able to look at microorganisms and they'd be as plain to you as a full-size grasshopper? That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? That's the power that you're going to be given, so you can watch these microorganisms and make sure that the sick are not doing the job, not holding their part to do, and watch over the kingdoms of microorganisms and make sure it's kept in that fashion, because we're going to have to put it back. Mankind destroyed it. Mankind is going to have to put it back, but that's only going to be given to a few people. Look back up to verse 24. Oh, Yahweh, how mindful, how mindful and varied are your works, speaking of the firmament. In wisdom, you created them all. You created them all. What's he speaking of here? In wisdom, you created them all. This is beautiful if you'll just pay attention. The earth is full of your riches. Look, everywhere you look, it's full of little moving creatures, creatures that creep. And you're going to be given power over these creatures that creep throughout the earth and throughout the firmament. Here is the sea, great and wide in every direction, in which are teeming things, in which are teeming things without number, living things, both large and minute. There the ship sail, and you formed, that is, you let be done, the Leviathan, the morning microisms, the kingdoms that we see and the song is about. That they're mourning, they're crying. Why? To do its job there. All these look to you, they look to you. We got, it's mistranslated. So many of the verses are in the King James Version, and that's the reason that they're hidden too, but even if it was correctly translated, And unless mankind can see it for himself, he doesn't believe. All these look to you, write this in instead, that they, cross out that to, and put that they may give their food in due season. They look to Yahweh. All of these look to Yahweh, so that they may give their food in due season. Isn't that beautiful? Things large and small in this ocean, in the atmosphere, when you give to them, they gather. When you open your hands, they are satisfied with bountifulness. When you, and cross out the next three words, hide your face. Yahweh doesn't hide his face, but his face is hidden. What by? The Catholic Church, the Masons, Christianity. In fact, all the world today is deceived and bringing about the hiding of Yahweh's face from everything he created. When your face is hidden, they are terror-stricken. Mark out the word you. Take away their breath, they're terror-stricken. It takes away their breath. Mark out you and put, it takes away their breath, they die. That's what's taking place right now. When your face is hidden, they're terror-stricken. It takes away their breath, and they die and return to the dust. Right there is a start of understanding what is taking place in the world today. These are organisms in mourning. An organism, of course, is any living thing. As is seen in Genesis 7, I don't want to spend too much time here, so you're going to have to remember a lot of this stuff. But in Genesis 7, I brought this out before, but let's rehearse it here. Verse 21, Genesis 7, 21, he shows here, and all flesh died. This was with the flood. All flesh died that lived on the earth. Birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeped upon the earth and every man, except Noah, of course, and his family, all in whose nostrils the breath of the spirit of life had been, all that lived on King James Version has in the dry, mark out the word land. All that lived in the dry died. That land, that word land is added. Here's where a lot of trouble comes in too with these added letters. Look on to verse 23. So he destroyed all the living things which were on the face of the ground, both man, cattle, creeping things, notice, and birds that creep, creeping things that creep within the earth also, and birds of the air, they were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained. The word there, creeping things, it's a root, word means to wriggle, to swarm, to abound, to creep, bring forth abundantly. They're created to bring forth abundantly for mankind. They swarm, active. Now remember this word. You got to remember this one because it's translated whale and some other things later. I forget what. In the ocean. But it means an active mass or a kingdom of microorganisms, a ball of or a kingdom of microorganisms, minute, a mass, active mass of minute animals. And they didn't know what they was talking about. They just know what the Hebrew meant. So they called it that's what it means, an active mass of minute animals, creeping things, creatures move. Isaiah, if you get that now, and you add Isaiah to this package, you put it together here, you will see that what this word actually means, the word Leviathan. Remember what we saw now, the active mass that Yahweh says when his face is removed from them, they're terrified. But they feed the earth when they are right. Now here in Isaiah 24 and verse 4, we see the earth mourns, that is the universe, and fades away. The world mourns and fades away. This word here actually means firmament and fades away. They mourn. Did you notice the word mourning? So you put that together with this mass of beings that we get from the creeping things, and you see it is the microorganisms mourning is the word that is translated Leviathan in Psalms 104, verse 26. A mass of swarming, working microorganisms, kingdoms of them. They are in mourning at this time. I've read this before to you. The study found that 400,000 times Earth's gravity, this was put out by National Geographic, and of course this is a very recent study of theirs, or they're reporting scientific studies. The species continued to multiply despite being spun in a machine that replicated pressure, that is gravity, of 400,000 times greater than that of Earth, plus high temperatures, pH pressure, and even radiation. So Yahweh made these creatures, this mass, very hard to destroy. The only thing, it seems like, that can actually destroy it is the result of sin, the STDs, because it gets inside the kingdom and it starts raping and changing their bodily functions to where they can't do their job. That is simple. Any scientist should be able to understand this. Leviathan. I want you to turn over to Eob, because Eob gives a lot of information that science is even lacking on today. But let's turn over to Eob 3. Eob 3 and verse 8. And this is speaking of the word Leviathan in 3 and verse 8. It's a word signifying an animal withering or gathering itself into a fold. And they translate it crocodile and sometimes whale because they don't know what it's talking about. You're the only ones on earth, except those listening to the house of Yahweh, you're the only ones on earth that knows what it is these scriptures are speaking of and how it is being damaged right now. In 3 and verse, let's go to Eob 3 and look at verse 8 first. Verse 8, this is mistranslated. In fact, almost the whole book of Eob is mistranslated. But there's enough there, if you study it closely, to see what is actually taking place, and that Eob came through in flying colors. He was tested and tried, really hard, like arrested, put in prison. He was beaten. They gave him things to cause him to break out in sores. This was all done by mankind. Yes, the builders, the masons were in operation back then. They traced their roots, remember, all the way back to Nimrod, the rebellious tyranny. And that's what it says in Genesis 10. They were tyrants. They still are tyrants. That breeding, Yahweh showed in Genesis 49, has been carried down all the way to you today. But you must overcome. Praise Yahweh. And he calls you here in front of him and said, overcome here in front of me so I can look at you, so I can see how much you've overcome. And that's what you're doing, right? Praise Yahweh. Okay, we put it, let them, we didn't do this, somebody else did, but let them curse it, speaking of the day it was born. And that's not what it's doing at all, but let them curse that day. Let them who are ready to raise up their mourning, did you get that word? Raise up their mourning. Now remember what we just studied on that. Let them cry out. And then you can mark out the rest of that. It was all added. The way this really went was those who cursed the night cursed the day also. Let's go back to, let me see here, I'll follow this closely. Verse 3, and we put down the day, down the day. Well, that's what the King James Version put. Down the day I was born, and the night it was said, a male is begotten. The way it should have read is, the day I was born has been damned. The day I was born has been damned. Well, who damned it? Yahweh takes you all the way back there to Samuel and books of Exodus and Leviticus. All of it show who was damning that day that he was born and brought all of this terror upon the house of Yahweh that Eob was actually teaching, if you remember, all the work we did on that chapter. The next one, 4, that day may it turn to darkness and may Yahweh above not care about it, nor may light shine upon it. What is actually said here is, now David, I'm sure, is going to add and distract from this, delete from it, but this is the Okie's way of saying what is coming out from the Hebrew words. Verse 4. That day has turned, this is verse 4 now, that day has turned to darkness, and Yahweh above, cares about it greatly, will make light shine upon it. That's the true meaning of this translation. This was a magnificent priest that was speaking here, very close to Yahweh, bringing truth and joy to all of his people when he was struck down by the world. But he said, there's hope. Yahweh is going to make light shine upon this day, and he is. Verse 5, we put, may darkness and the shadow of death claim it, may a cloud settle over it, and may an eclipse in the day terrify it. The real meaning here of verse 5, darkness and the shadow of death claim it. A cloud of darkness settles over it, and blackness. Now, if you remember that word black, I've been harping on it, black or darkness, Yahweh took away the light. and brought darkness. Remember, to the 12 tribes of Israel. They didn't want to retain Yahweh in their knowledge, so he gave them darkness instead of light. Darkness in the day terrifies or overwhelms it, as the Hebrew word said. Overwhelms it. The darkness that mankind brought is overwhelming this. Overwhelming microorganisms, in fact. And that's what he mentions in this. Verse 6, that night may darkness seize it, may it not be included among the days of the year, nor may it be included in the number of the moons. The real meaning that Eob was trying to put over here, that night darkness seized it, including all the days of the year, including the number of the moons. Verse 7, may that night be barren. May no joyful sound come from it. He actually said that night becomes barren, or became barren, I'm sorry. That night became barren, and no joyful sounds came from it. You heard the joyful sounds of the microorganisms. This is what it's speaking of now. He's speaking of actual microorganisms and what the mankind was doing to the earth even at that time. Verse 8. I've already read you that one. It means those who curse the nights curse the days also. Let them who are ready to raise up their mourning, and the word there is Leviathan in the King James Version, raise up their mourning. King James Version says Leviathan, speaking of the microorganisms in the firmament. Let me read it again. Those who curse the nights curse the days also. Let them who are ready to raise up their mourning, Leviathan, that's the Amplified Bible. They put Leviathan because it's the same word. Let them cry out. Well, of course, that's what is taking place right now. They're crying out. They're crying out, as we can see. They're weeping. They're mourning, as the scripture shows. We're in Eob now, 3 and verse 8. Let's go over to chapter 41 of Eob. Chapter 41, and notice verse 1. Can you pull out Babylon with a fish hook? Well, now think about this, because he's talking about Leviathan. Can you straighten this mess out, Yahweh says, with a fish hook? We added three words there. Down his tongue with a cord. Can you do that? This is the King James Version and Amplified Bible. And in chapter 1, verse 41, 41, verse 1, I'm sorry, it says Leviathan, and then it gives a little letter there to guide you to the reference, which means it has this meaning now. Remember mass of swarming, creeping things in the ocean, in the atmosphere. Okay, now the word also has the meaning of whale. Large mass of microorganisms, and they translated it whale because they didn't know what else to put there. Because they didn't know about microorganisms. And of course, they didn't understand the scripture, so they couldn't understand what we have been bringing from the scriptures about how creation was made, that Yahweh created everything from these tiny organisms here. The other word that they use here is whirlpool. The same word that they translated whale, that's trying to figure out, but they said it can also mean whirlpool. Well, what we actually find is what we find in the other scriptures. It's a mass of minute animals, a mass of them, that whirl and do their job in the ocean and in the atmosphere. If you notice the word whirlpool of the microorganisms building the pyramid, you remember seeing that? Building the pyramid, we had it on here just a few days ago. Well, that's what it's speaking of right there. A mass of our organisms building the pyramid. We're in Eob 41 and verse 1. And they say Leviathan or Leviathan, the NASB, NIV, and King James Version with margin, crocodile. They translate it crocodile, whale, what was the other one? And then go now with that in mind. Go over to Psalms. Go over to Psalms 74. Psalm 74. Psalm 74 and verse 14. Verse 14. You broke the heads of the Leviathan. That word there, you broke the heads of the Egyptians, the Amplified Bible has, with your Leviathan. What on earth could that be talking about? Let me see if I can find the net. Here it is. The King James Version on verse 13. Thou didst divide the sea, by the authority, and we put, the King James Version has strength. The word also means authority, which you know that's what it is from Yahweh. You didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragon. They give a number there, and that mean, and they put the word whale. They put the word whale, they translated it whale, as you just saw in Eob 41, King James Version, Leviathan, margin saying whale, meaning large mass of microorganisms. In the waters, that's 13. Then 14, thou breakest the heads of the Leviathan in pieces and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. That word heads means leaders. It also means lords, elders, and later rabbis. Heads. Now he's speaking of in the waters. Now get this from the Amplified Bible. You did divide the Red Sea. Well, when did that take place? You divided the Red Sea by your might. You broke the heads of the Egyptians, which it was, the heads of the Egyptians, in the waters. And that, of course, if you hold your place there and turn over to Exodus 14, we'll read that quickly because there's some things at a miss right there, and Bible scholars are arguing about it daily on television, I think, because they can't figure out what in the world he's talking about. Now, supposedly, Yahweh had the Israel come up to the Red Sea, and then Moshe then held his staff out over the Red Sea, and Yahweh caused the east wind to come and blow back the water. Now, that's the story we're getting, and then they crossed on dry land. That's not what occurred. In Exodus 14 and verse 21, you see, and Moshe stretched out his hand over the sea, and Yahweh calls the sea to go back. Well, if you'll remove that word back, because it's like You know, we added a word there so it makes it look like he blew the water back. But that's not what he did. By a strong east wind, all that night, and made the sea into dry ground, and the waters were divided. Well, did you get the waters divided? It wasn't just blowed back, they were divided. Now let's read it again and take some words out, and you'll see what it really says here. And Moshe stretched out his hand over the sea, and Yahweh caused the sea to go. To go. Now put the word and there instead of back. And by a strong east wind all that night, bark out the word and, made the sea into dry ground. And the waters were divided. Now verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea, and which means it was on both sides of them, upon the dry, and the waters a wall to them on the right and the left. So two things took place here. First off, he commanded the microorganisms. Remember how Yahshua walked on water? Try that. If you can't swim, you better take swimming lessons first, unless you have authority over the microorganisms, the big whale, the crocodile, the swarm of microorganisms, the kingdoms of microorganisms in the water to make it hard enough for you to walk on. Well, Yahweh commanded these. The sea moved back in both directions. Look at it. You will see what direction it's going. Look at it on a map. And if you have an east wind, you'll see that it blew all night on that land that was divided with a wall on each side of it. Now that would take some doing. Not just an east wind. By coincidence, you know, there's an east wind. And it blows the water here and there. There's also a south wind, and it switches back and forth. But Yahweh all night long, and the Hebrew words there showed under heat, actually. There was extreme heat in that wind. How could he do that? He changed the wind. And he said, give me some strength. Let there be some heat in this wind. Let there be light. Let there be day. Let there be sun. Well, the sun from which the wind carried, the Leviathan, had to spread out and let the sun come through enough to heat that wind to dry the ground. You think of the heat that would have to be there that night. If you had mud, deep mud, and these Israelites walked on that dry, dry ground with a wall of water on both sides. It's beautiful once you get it right. Now back to Psalms 74, verse 14. This is the Amplified Bible. You crushed the heads of the Leviathan, and then, of course, they put Egypt. Well, here you see another place where they don't understand about the microorganisms. They know this is speaking about Egypt, and they know something else is involved. Well, what was involved here was microorganisms that crushed the heads of the Egyptians, the leaders of the Egyptians. In fact, it almost took their whole army. And it was very easy for the 12 tribes who left Israel to move right back into Egypt and take it over, of which they own it today. And of course, they are fighting against, of course, what goes on with the, you know, they want this plot of land, they don't want anyone else to have it, and so forth. So they're protecting their little spot of land, and they would take over, they tried to take over Israel, the land that he gave to Moshe, Abraham. They tried to take that over, I think it's 1967, a six-day war. Israelites fighting Israelites. That also went on in Egypt and Israel itself. Israelite tribes fighting Israelite tribe. All throughout history, this has gone on, and they kept spreading out to other countries and taking them over. And from them, this poison, this perverseness has gone out to the entire world. Well, here you crush the heads of the Egyptians by Leviathan, by your microorganism. So you have the people involved, and you have the microorganisms involved. King James Version says Leviathan. Margin says whale. Whale, meaning microorganism, meaning large mass of microorganisms. That was four. Let's go back to, we were in Psalm 74, verse 14. Let's go to Isaiah now. I'm out of time. We got dinner, and I'm already, my mouth is already watering just thinking about that dinner today. That's a beautiful, beautiful dinner. Let's cover this one right here and maybe one more and then we'll quit. Isaiah 27. In that day, Yahweh, with his unrelenting, great and strong, that is authority, with his, this is authority that Yahweh has over the microorganism, will punish. That word punish is, it should be judge. He will judge the prophets of the assemblies of the serpent. Someone kindly emphasized that a little. Just skip that. Everything that was added. He will judge the assemblies of the serpent. That's, if you remember Revelations 12, it shows that old serpent that deceives the whole world, all of her assemblies. He will give these perverted ministers of the serpent. You'll find that in 12:9 and also John and 8:44, the ministers of the serpent, that beast of the depth, that is now the microorganisms that they have brought damage to. It's called now Leviathan, which means mourning microorganisms. You'll give them the sentence, the ministers of the serpent, that beast that they have created. They have created now a Leviathan. You'll give the sentence of death back to them. The sentence of death, because that is what they're bringing and ruining. Hold your place there and turn over to Revelations 18. Revelations 18. Tie this together now. It's very wonderful what you'll see here. He will give the sentence of death that they have given the microorganisms that brought death now, that's bringing death, bringing famine, bringing global warming, bringing the Arctic ice to nothing, bringing it down, destroying, in fact, the bacteria, the nucleolizing bacteria that cause rainfall in its proper time and its proper places. They gave all of this. This horror that's their leader of the kings of the earth today, as is shown in chapter 18, verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you do not partake of her sins, and so that you do not receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached into the firmament, and Yahweh has remembered her iniquities. Now look at verse 6. Render to her just as she rendered. Now you see what it's saying there? And what Isaiah 27, minister of the serpents, perverted ministers of the serpents, he will give to these perverted ministers of the serpent, that beast of the depth which they have created, the sentence of death, giving it right back to them. Revelations 18, verse 6. Render to her. Give it back to her. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix for her double. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in that measure give her torment. Torment, that's what you see. The microorganisms in mourning, the earth in terror, torment throughout the whole earth, sickness, disease, war, cruelty everywhere you look, and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen. That's the city, it sits on seven hills. City 17, verse 18, that sits on seven hills of Rome. I sit a queen and am no widow and will see no sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come. This is verse 8, 18, verse 8. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. If I could, we could cover just a little. I know I've been promising you this. I could cover just a little. Get your mouth to watering for it anyway. If you'll turn over to Isaiah 40. We're in Isaiah. If you'll turn to Isaiah 40 now, and notice verse 22, and I'll give you just a little bit, and then we'll pick up later on down the line. I'll get to all of this as quickly as I can, because this is the last message shown in Revelation 16, concerning the firmament of the earth. Well, here now in verse 22, Isaiah 40, verse 22. It is he who sits. That word sit, if you remember all the lessons we took on that with Ruth and Boaz, as I called it. And the word sit. Boaz was a judge and a priest, of course. And of course, that was where they came to be judged. And to Yahweh's house, and he told them to rejoice and everything I'm telling you today. Well, here now, and he says, it is he, that is Yahweh, who sits above the circle of the earth. Now notice, you got to notice that it's not the earth that's the subject here. And this is where everybody screws up, all the Bible scholars. That and a dozen other places in this same verse. But notice the word circle is what the subject is, not the word earth. And everything else that you see here is about this circle, the word circle. So what does this word circle? It's firmament. He sits above the firmament. That's what the word is. I'll show you, prove to you later, but that's what it's talking about. It's talking about the circle, that is the firmament. The firmament. Who sits above the circle of the earth and its inhabitants. Well, they didn't know the firmament had inhabitants, but that's not the earth now with inhabitants. That's the firmament that has the inhabitants. Got it? Okay. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens. That's what he's talking about. The firmament, he stretched those out, this circle. He stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Yes, we've described this many times. And from that circle there, he put so many wonderful things in that circle. The inhabitants of that bring you life. Praise Yahweh. Like a curtain, the heavens, like a curtain, the firmament, like a curtain. And spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. And of course, the inhabitants of that is like grasshoppers. What on earth could that mean? Well, Yahweh, Yahweh blessed you with a little here today and a little more tomorrow. Here a little and there a little. Now a little and later a little. It's a wonderful picture what Yahweh has shown here and how, of course, mankind has screwed it up, and Yahweh is letting them live what they've screwed up. He's giving it right back to them. He's not protecting them from what they're doing. He's letting them bring it on, and it's getting worse every year. Some are saying that the ice may all melt this summer. I, for one, hope that it does. I hope they do away with all their blessings, and then maybe they'll start realizing, you know, what they have done, and maybe then we'll see 2 billion people repent, and come to the house of Yahweh before Yahweh and rejoice. Rejoice! Praise Yahweh. Remember now, we got to break all this down, set it up for dinner, a wonderful, wonderful dinner. Then we'll have, this afternoon, we'll have ordinations and everything is lined up. And then I want to get with you again this evening, probably 5:30 or 6, and we'll all have prayer and rejoice a little before Yahweh again, show that we're still rejoicing even at the end of the day. Come on, come on.